Would you pray with me? Let's ask God to bless the preaching of his word. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these moments where we get to escape kind of the pressures of life, drown all that out, give you our best attention, and hear your voice. But now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. How do you teach important concepts? So I don't know if any of you grew up learning directions on how to have the left versus the right. Anyone teach you how to determine what is left and what is right? Did any of you do this? And the one that says the L, that indeed is my left hand, right? Maybe there's some others who you try to get a bolt or a screw loose. Maybe you're trying to stop the water. And so you remember this kind of rhymey thing. And that rhymey thing, do you know it? Can you say it with me? The rhymey thing is... Absolutely. Which righty-tighty, lefty-loosey is fine when you're like upright, but if you're like under a car and you're like out of sorts, you're like, is this the righty-tighty, lefty-loosey? Not only that, but there are acronyms, right? That's another way of teaching concepts. In starting point, we had SOAP, which is Scripture, Observation, Application, Prayer for how to journal through the Bible. A while ago, we taught on Noah, and we referred to a rainbow. Maybe you've heard of Roy G. Biv. Right? So red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet, right? Those are the colors of the rainbow. And then finally, there's this brother that I love. Maybe you love him too. His name is Pastor Jeff. And he really believed that repetition is the mother of learning. And so sometimes you'd hear Pastor Jeff say, you know, we don't use people to get work done. We use work to get people done. And we really believe that the more you work for God, the more you draw close. And then do you remember his favorite word? And, yeah, and was his favorite word, and he said it more than once, right? Now, the reason it's so important to be able to teach well and to use many different tools is because when it comes to what we have to teach from this platform, it's not just about fixing a car and it's not just about fixing finances. What we teach from this platform has the consequences of life or death. That if we get this right, you will live and have peace. And if you get this wrong, you will have guilt and you will miss out on the peace and even miss out eternally. What we have to teach and preach is called the gospel. And the gospel is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. And something we are never done then is exploring the nuance of the gospel. Kind of as we look at a diamond with many different cuts and different angles. So we're never looking at the diamond of the gospel, the most beautiful jewel we have of how we find salvation in Jesus Christ. In fact, I recently heard a great story about illustrating the gospel. Is it okay if I share that story with you? I get to say whatever I want anyway, so I'm going to continue. So it's a story about a king who is known for being perfectly just and also perfectly merciful, perfectly good. Because the king was this sort, the people loved him. He led his kingdom well, and he was one of the most beloved kings in all their history. Now, there's a problem in the kingdom, and that is that someone had stolen from the royal treasury. Because of this, the just king says that when we find this person, they are going to get 10 lashes. Nothing was happening, person wasn't found, so he upped the ante. He said, when we find this person who was stolen from the royal treasury, because they didn't come out, they're getting 40 lashes, which at that point is a death sentence. Time went on, the ante was upped, they found him. The one who had stolen was the king's daughter. And everyone wondered, what is the good king going to do? He's perfectly just and he's perfectly merciful, so what will he decide? Will he really send his daughter to death? He decided she should go. The day came and there was the guard with the flogging. There was the daughter. They opened the back of her shirt and she hugged a tree. And it was about time for her to be lashed. But the king cried out and said, stop! Came down past the guard, went by his daughter, he opened his shirt and gave his daughter a hug, surrounding her with his body. He then told the guard, begin! And he absorbed every one of those lashes. And he died. But his daughter lived. If you don't know it, this is the king we have. We were the thieves. And yet Jesus from heaven, who is the King of Kings, comes down. And he covers us with his body. And he sheds his blood so that you and I can go free. And this is the most important story you'll ever hear. To know that you have forgiveness, life, and peace because of a king who died for you. And as we talk about all that Jesus has said, this is something that I believe down to my depths. It's our first fill-in. That I believe the Savior has a message that changes everything. Yes, the gospel is so true. The one that gives us forgiveness, life, and peace. But as we're going to see in this series, the parables, there is so much that he wants to teach us. There's so much that he wants to share that can change everything in how you live with peace and joy and perspective. In today's story, today's parable is so important. Now, a little bit about what a parable is. A parable is an elongated illustration. It's a story that Jesus makes up. It didn't actually happen. And it has a spiritual point. So it's an earthly story with a spiritual meaning. And today we get into the lost sheep. And I think it actually has a lot to do with what we do here at Amazing Love. So something you should know about church life, and again, welcome if you're new. Love that you're here. Is that I believe, regardless of your church home, they should all be about the Great Commission. Some of you know the Great Commission through these words. This is what Jesus said before he ascended. He said, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." If you're in a church that is not about this, leave. This is the mission critical for every church. And we understand it. So first of all, we're going to go. And you see that in Amazing Love. We have a parade. We have a trunk or treat. Two trunks left. We have a helicopter Easter egg drop. We have many opportunities to go. And then you also heard we want to teach everything, don't you? Laura and Leslie came up and talked about discipleship. It's not enough just that we reach them. It's that we teach them as well. And I love that right now at Amazing Love, I think you can be in like three or four groups. We just invite you to one, but there are three or four where you can continually see Jesus and grow and learn everything. It's an amazing opportunity. And some of you even know that we've kind of rephrased this mission here at Amazing Love. If you know the mission statement, then here's your opportunity to say it with me. We're here to reach the lost with the love of Christ. And this is the persona that Jesus himself took on. We see this in his outreach to a man named Zacchaeus. So there was a parade, and he went up to Zacchaeus, who's in a tree, a wee little man, in a tree, and said, "I'm going to eat with you today." And as he shared the kingdom, as the Holy Spirit had his way with Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus came to believe. The kingdom of God came to Zacchaeus, it was said. But it was interesting that not everyone was happy about it. The religious leaders of the day were not happy that Jesus would just reach out to Zacchaeus. And so Jesus had to say what his mission was. And in Luke 19, this is what he said. He said, "The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Now, what the religious leaders didn't know is that they were lost too. They just thought they were found. He was saying, I'm here for those who know their need. Who know they need peace in someone other than themselves. And so I think it's good for a church like ours to say what? To reach the lost, just like Jesus did. But then this parable, I think, is going to be pretty pragmatic for how we are to do that. So let's get into it. This is the teaching of the lost sheep. I'm going to invite you to stand as we hear this message. Now, the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." So then Jesus told them this parable. "Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, 'Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep.' I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. These are the words we get to dwell in. Could you say out louder to your neighbor, "He found me"? He found me. Amen and amen. Please be seated. So I'm getting a little older where I get to share some of the same stories. I don't know if I'll repeat "and" as much as this story. But there is something I love to teach when it comes to church dynamics. And if you've been around me, you might have heard this before, but I'm going to share it again. It's a hypothetical situation of a mom who makes a perfect meal. So in this hypothetical situation, this mom's specialty dish is lasagna. And everything came together, and she has just created the most delicious lasagna that Garfield would love. You would love it too if you were there at the table. But the story goes that the first one down, because he was the hungriest, was the teenage son. And he looks at the lasagna, and he's like, "Oh man, I really could have gone for like two burgers. Maybe like some White Castle snack pack. That'd be awesome." So he's not happy with lasagna. And then there's a toddler waddling in. "Can I have chicken tenders?" Mom says, "No, it's lasagna." She's not happy. Then the teenage daughter, she's late because she was on Snapchat. She's coming down and she's on a health kick. And so she's like, "I was looking for kale chips and skinless, boneless chicken breast. Do I have to eat these carbs, this lasagna?" "Yeah, it's lasagna tonight." And then the husband, and this is why mom called for dinner, because he just came into the garage and he's got a tired look from the day on his face. He's just dragging himself in and, "Oh, babe, thanks, but gotta be honest, I could have went for a steak." She's just made beautiful, delicious, amazing lasagna, and her whole family hates it, does not want it. And now I want you to imagine that in this hypothetical situation, around the neighborhood, no one has any food. Everyone's starving. Everyone wishes they would just have a little bit of lasagna, but this family is not content, even though they are well fed. What is this illustration? Church family, you're fed today. You're fed through music and Bible class. You're fed by hearing the gospel. You have many, many opportunities to eat lasagna, and then some are like burgers, and some are steak. It's really good. I think the teens had that last time. Anyway, and it's so, so good. But ours is not to argue over what is served as much as saying, if I'm fed, how do we feed others? Because you know what evangelism is? I love this quote. Evangelism is just one beggar telling another beggar where he found the bread. You need to eat. You need to find this food, this peace in Jesus. And I think it's this perspective that helps us understand the parable of the lost sheep. So Jesus gets into it, and this is what he says. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? Now the question is, shepherd, why would you leave the 99? Do you know why he leaves them in the field? Because there's food there. Because they have lasagna. And so something we know is that the shepherd, their first villain, the shepherd leaves the 99 because of this. They're safe. They are not only found, but they're fed. They're okay. Especially compared to that one lost sheep. They're doing well. Plenty of grass, plenty of company. And the reason this is so important is because one of the misnomers about a church that is hot for outreach is somehow there is no care for lifelong Christians and no care for those who have been believers or helpers. And that's just not true. Just not true. At Amazing Love, it's not enough that we just reach people. It's that we teach them too, that they have discipleship opportunities, that they continue to grow. And we emphasize that all of the time. Please get involved. Please continue to grow your faith. Please rub shoulders with others who are found. It's really good to be found and fed. But comparative, wouldn't we agree, if you're here in the house today, wouldn't you agree that you have a better condition, spiritually speaking, than the lost person who isn't here? Than the unbeliever who has no idea that they can have peace in the name of Jesus. Wouldn't you agree that even it's worthy of us sacrificing? to try and go out and reach those people so that they too can eat lasagna. So that they too might know Jesus and just how good he is. But here's the challenge and the rub. Our sinful nature does not want that. Our sinful nature is like the Pharisees. Look at how the Pharisees reacted as Jesus was among the sinners, among the lost. The Pharisees said this, the Pharisees and teachers of the law, they muttered, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. And I don't know the Pharisees' heart, but this is my conjecture. I think they were jealous. Do you remember who Jesus chose to be his disciples? Fisherman, tax collector, not one Pharisee, not one scribe, not one Sadducee. So they're looking at this new religious hero and they're like, you didn't pick any of us, the religious? Like, you overlooked the whole like church people thing? Like, you should have chosen from us, Jesus. I have no idea if you're trying to like teach the gospel why you wouldn't be among us. And Jesus is like, well, you're found and fed. Or at least you think so. You know the scriptures. You know them in and out. You have memorized them. I don't know what more to teach you. And by the way, you don't even want me to teach you, so there's that. But the rub is that the church people didn't want outreach to the lost. The church people wanted the church leader to just serve them. Feed me. Make it more delicious. Don't just serve lasagna. I'm looking for burgers, and next week is steak, Jesus. You better teach well. And so there's a rub for us. See, when we're called to reach the lost, really pragmatically, it's getting comfortable being uncomfortable, and who likes to be uncomfortable? If we're going to reach the lost, it means that we're going to share our faith, and we're going to maybe have like an awkward conversation because we were intentional about talking about church and Jesus. And I got to be honest, that's hard. I still get nervous to do it. If we're going to gear up a ministry to reach the lost people, it means we're going to sacrifice money, emotion, and time. I think of a Saturday where we're going to have trunks and we're going to go give away candy and we're going to spend a beautiful Saturday hopefully making new friends for Christ. And then in a ministry like ours, we're teaching these timeless truths in timely ways, and to be timely and effective, sometimes it means change. And change is really hard. When's the last time you recognized that? Do you know change is hard for me too? I'd rather be comfortable. What God is calling us is not to be a consumer, but a contributor. Is not to be a Christian that just says, feed me, serve me, serve me. But one who says, I want to feed, I want to serve, I want to go. And so we repent of all the times that we weren't comfortable being uncomfortable. That the sinful nature took over and just said, I just want what I want. I don't care, Pastor. And in response to that, consider what Jesus did for you. If you're in Christ, I want you to think about all the people that were used so that you could be fed. If you're like me, you have a list too long to enumerate. Starting with my parents, going into many pastors, going into professors and teachers, going into extended family, there were so many people used so that I could eat lasagna and burgers and steak and keep eating all through my life. Even to this day, there are people feeding and feeding and feeding. They came because of God. They were representative of his heart. This is the one who saw you when you were lost and said, no, I want you to be found and fed. We're going to sing a song at the end of this sermon, and it's Reckless Love, and it's been around for a little bit, but I want you to consider these words. It says, oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down. It fights till I'm found. It leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it, and I don't deserve it. Still, you give yourself away. This is the God who looked at you and says, no, you need to be found and fed. And so we know Jesus' perfect life. In our place, we are righteous. We know his innocent death. We are forgiven of all sin. We know his glorious resurrection. We have victory in the name of Jesus. And you have the right to be called a child of God. In fact, today I can tell you, you're a sheep of God. You have a good shepherd, bound and fed. But now what do we do? What do we pragmatically do? I love how the parable goes, and there's one key word of the passion around his reckless love. Let's put that verse up. It says, go after the lost sheep until he finds it. What do you see in that word, until? Think about the word until. It's not over till it's done, right? Project's not complete until the last thing. Until. That's a beautiful word. And so our next fill-in, and we got to talk about it. This is the next fill-in. The good shepherd searches until sheep are found. Now to talk about that, I want to bring up St. Augustine. Maybe you've heard of St. Augustine. St. Augustine, depending on pronunciation. There are a few quotes that I love. This one I memorized in Latin back at seminary, that you have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you. That's a beautiful quote. Some of you experienced that. Or look at this next quote. Next one. God loves each of us as if there were only one of us. That's how individual is his path, his journey to find and to pursue you. But do you know that St. Augustine, for about 30 years of his life, was a pagan and an unbeliever? He led a hedonistic lifestyle. 17-year-old, and he was in a group of guys known for sexual promiscuity. He had a child out of wedlock, and he did not marry the gal. He continued this lifestyle until he was 30, and he was going to marry a teenage heiress. He was not a Christian. He went to Manichaeism, which is a different religion altogether, even though God is there, but totally different. And yet some have credited his turnaround based on his mom. His mom was a devout believer, a persistent prayer, and a great example. And the mom who kept on praying for the son finally found the son's turnaround. And so we've been blessed by St. Augustine. This is still going on today. I have the privilege of walking with people who are still praying for their grandchildren or their children, and saying, I am not giving up until they turn around and found. This is going on with spouses. Many times I've heard how they're praying that their spouse might grow in faith, might come to believe, might practice regularly the faith that they believe. And this is the ministry that Amazing Love should do. That if someone was found and is straying, we should reach out to them. And if someone was lost and they come home, we should celebrate them. We should go until they are found. But there's something else that Jesus does. It's not just until. He's very intentional. Consider what the Pharisees said about him. This is what they observed. He said, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. So he was intentional when he called Matthew the tax collector. He was intentional with Zacchaeus. He was intentional to go to Samaria and meet the woman at the well. He was very intentional about his activity among unbelievers. And so I have to ask you a question. How often do you hang out with the lost? Now, something I should clarify is that we've taught many times from this stage that you are the average of the five people you spend the most time with. And so there is another side of this teaching that especially if you're considering marriage, I tell my girls this, that you need to look for someone who knows Jesus, because if they know Jesus, they can love you like Jesus. The Bible would also warn us, don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. If that's all our influence, that can be really hard. Some of you parents know what it is to pray that your children might have Christian friends in any season and what that influence would do, right? So there is that teaching. And we should spend some time with the lost. And for some of you, it might be very easy to do. You go to work or you go to a school or you're in a community where there are lost people all around you. And for you, I'd say it's about intentionally using your time to talk about Jesus, or to invite them to church, or to share your faith, or to make sure they know you're a Christian, so that if they're in a hard time, they know they can go to you, or simply love them, so they know you're a safe place. Pray for them. If right now you're hanging around with lost people, you should be on mission. They are a watching world, and they're looking not only for your love, but the love of Christ. They just don't know it. But maybe your life is a little bit more like me. As a pastor, I could insulate myself with Christians all day long. That's all I could do. I could always be around Christians. It'd be very, very easy. But I have one mission field when I go to the gym. And so at the gym, I try to talk about Christ as it's appropriate or when it comes up. Or our staff went bowling. And we had a divine appointment while we were bowling. And it wasn't to get a 300. It was talk to Frank. Frank came over to us. He apologized for his poor language. He wasn't happy about his language that day. And he talked about God. He's like, I wouldn't honor God. And we're like, well, let's talk about God. Why did he come? He came to forgive us. So Frank, I want you to know you're forgiven. And Frank, do you have a church home? Like, I haven't been to church in a while. Like, well, you can come to Amazing Love, along with your dad, Frank, right? In any environment we find ourselves in, if lost are around, what we should be doing is we should be looking for ways that the lost can be found, that they can be brought in, that we should be intentional to be around the lost. This is what a missionary named Katie Pullinger did. So a little bit of a story. She was from Britain, and she was compelled to share the gospel in Hong Kong. Now, she went to a portion of Hong Kong that was one of the lead centers for opium production. So because of that, they were known for gang violence, they were known for drug addicts, they were known for prostitution. It was the only job she could find as a school teacher, and while she was there, she had meals with the people around her. She prayed for them. She loved on them. And that mission work was blessed. People became believers. The Holy Spirit had his way, even in that circumstance, even in that region. Hallelujah. Now, she writes about her work in a book called Chasing the Dragon. This is one of the phrases that she said. She said, we need people who will go and stay, can we say this word? Until the end. So this is our mission. To go and strive, to do whatever it takes, and reach those who need peace in Jesus. Give them lasagna or burgers or steak, whatever your favorite passage is. And what's the end result? Oh, I want to share it with you. So the parable says, when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and he goes home. And he calls his friends and neighbors and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. Oh, the joy. Have you ever lost like a wallet or cash or technology and you found it? You're like, my thing, it's great. And so Jesus says, even more. The angels, they rejoice when one sinner turns to repentance. Even more, Jesus, when Zacchaeus and Matthew, the kingdom of God came to them. It's the parable of the prodigal son. And when the father saw him, wraps his arms around him and says, we need to throw a feast. My son was lost, but now he's found. I consider the joy of some archaeologists. They were finding King Tut's tomb. Some of you might know this story. It's of the 1920s where Howard Carter was actually commissioned by Lord Caravan from England. They were able to go to the Valley of the Kings and search for 5 years, 1917. And then 1922, a worker stumbled over a stone that looked like a step. So they hid it for a while so no one else would find it. Lord Caravan came, and they started chiseling away at the staircase. Came to a door, chiseled a little hole inside of it, and Howard Carter stuck a candle in. Lord Caravan was there and asked, can you see anything? He sees the treasury. Howard Carter says, yes, wonderful things. There they found 5,000 things in the treasury, along with King Tut's tomb. I have a picture of that. If you can imagine the joy of that day, or if you've watched Outer Banks when they get the treasure, if you know what it's like to have money lost but now found, or a prized possession like technology, I don't know where it went and there it is, how much more shouldn't we celebrate a soul that has found peace in Jesus? Is it not appropriate that when Amazing Love has a new member welcome, that we should just have this incredible joy in our hearts that new family members have been found? Shouldn't we have this sense of incredible joy whenever there's a baptism? And through the washing of water, rebirth and renewal, someone else has found Jesus and God had his way. Shouldn't this be the case when we see a visitor come? And we give them a mug and a Starbucks gift card, but it could be so much more than that, because our hearts know that if you find Jesus, you have found what is so much better than gold and silver. You have found something that changes everything. Shouldn't we appropriate our joy? Because all the other treasures will fade away. When you find a treasury or even a wallet, that joy will last a moment and then it will fade. Do you know our joy will only increase? We see just a little bit of that impact, but imagine going to heaven and meeting that friend and saying, I'm so glad that Amazing Love was on a mission to reach the lost because you reached me. The joy we have in this place over the lost being found, it only grows to eternity. So may we search until they're found. May we take not the persona of the 99, but take the persona of the shepherd and do whatever we can until they're found and fed. Let's pray about this. Heavenly Father, first of all, I just thank you that you have done so much with your reckless, relentless love to win and find me. How awesome it is to be in your care and to be fed by your word so well. Now empower us to go on the search, to hang out with lost people, do whatever it takes so that those lost sheep come home. We pray especially now for Amazing Love Church family members who may have strayed without finding a new home. Use us that they might once again be fed by your word and sacraments. We pray for those in the community that have yet to be found. Help us to make most of each moment in our pursuit. We pray this in the name of Jesus, but now join in the prayer he taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.